Greetings. In the name of Jesus this evening. The one who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. He is now in the right hand of God interceding for you and for me. What a wonderful Savior we had. I appreciated that devotional. I was sitting there wondering, you know, as he was reading through that, reading how God knows us intimately, knows our thoughts, knows what we do, we can't hide from him. How did that make you feel? Did it make you feel a little uncomfortable? Did that worry you a little bit? As children of God, as those people who have been washed in the blood of Christ, we can take a passage like that and we can find tremendous comfort in that. That God is there with us. God is observing, protecting, and fighting on our behalf. But if we're living outside of God's will, a passage like that will strike fear in our hearts and be uncomfortable for us. So I trust that each one of you find comfort in the idea that God is all-knowing and God sees our lives. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy for a message this evening. Second Timothy, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance to stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now the title of my message this evening is The Gift of a Sound Mind. The Gift of a Sound Mind. Verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I think the foundation of the spirit of power and love is a sound mind, because without a sound mind, we would not have this power from God. We would not have the love of God in our lives. So I'd like to look at these three things: spirit of fear, the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and then we're going to focus on this sound mind, this gift of a sound mind. First of all, the spirit of fear. A disposition to be fearful, cowardly, lacking faith. Lacking the faith that God is with us. That God is there to protect us, to fight for us and help us through our trials. The spirit of fear is not just an isolated incidence of fear. You know, we fear whatever certain thing it'll be, but it's more a character trait of fearfulness. We live in fearfulness, and we see people all around our communities living in fear. They have a spirit of fear. They're worried about what's going to happen next, what's going to happen in the future. Fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, has he? It says here, he has given us a spirit of power. Now, this word power is not just any kind of power. The Greek word here is dunamis. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing right, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And this is specifically referring to a miraculous, miracle-working power. That's what kind of power this is referring to. God has given you and I the spirit of power. This is the kind of power Jesus possessed as he walked on earth and healed the sick, cast out demons. It's a power that Paul speaks of in Philippians 4:13 when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he also says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's the kind of power that this is referring to. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The Spirit of power. And it also says he gives us love, the Spirit of love. And this is referring to agape love. God is love. And we receive his Spirit or his disposition of love as we accept him and his saving work on the cross for us. And in this love is where you and I find our identity, find our belonging. And I believe these are all rooted and grounded in a sound mind. So we're going to think of a sound mind this evening, a gift of a sound mind. What is a sound mind? Sound mind is a mind that is disciplined, self-control, sober, pure. A mind that is open to correction, willing to admit wrong. It's a mind that has a capacity to reason, to think through the issues and the circumstances that we face in life. It's the ability to solve problems. And most of all, it is a gift from God. At the same time that it is a gift from God, we are also responsible to develop this sound mind. Just like our salvation, which is a free gift from God, we are told to work out our own salvation. And just the same way God gives us a sound mind, but we must work at developing it as we go through life. So first of all, I'd like to look at some hindrances to a sound mind, to this gift of a sound mind that God desires us to possess. Number one, I have the first hindrance to the sound mind is fear. Fear. We already looked at fear and what fear is, but what was one of the first effects that sin had on this world and on those that lived in this world? Well, it was fear. Now, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. And then the next couple of verses said God came walking in the cool of the garden, calling to Adam, "Adam, where are you?" And when he finally met Adam, he said, "Where were you?" And Adam said, what did Adam say? He said, "I was afraid." One of the first consequences of sin on this world was that it brought fear into the hearts of man. Another thing about fear is that it separates us from God. In Revelation 21, John is talking about the New Jerusalem. And he talks about those that overcome. He says, "I will be his God, and he shall be my son." In verse 8 it says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers." He has a list of things there. He says, "They shall have their part in the lake of fire." Fear separates you and me from God. God hates fear. He desires us to put our faith and our trust in him, to trust him through whatever circumstance we find ourselves going through in life. Fear also takes control of a person. You know, fear can cause us to do all kinds of irrational things. People have done some very irrational things because fear took control of them. God does not want fear to control us. He wants his Spirit to control us. Fear leaves us paralyzed and helpless in the face of the enemy. And that's why Satan loves to strike fear in our hearts. He loves to intimidate us so that we cower helplessly before him. What are some things people fear today? A lot of people fear the future, especially the last year or so. People don't know what's going to happen. They fear the unknown. Jesus said, "Take no thought for tomorrow. But tomorrow should take thought for the things of itself." And he also says, "Before you ask, your Father knows what you have need of." You know, there's people that fear what those around them think of them. And they'll do everything in their power to make sure that they're fitting in. They're doing things so that the people around them think well of them. We might fear financial calamity, fear losing our material possessions. Jesus also said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth." but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We're thinking of a sound mind this evening, and fear is one of the biggest hindrances to a sound mind. What do you fear this evening? There's only one thing that you and I, as followers of God, should fear, and that is God. We should fear God and nothing else. Another hindrance to a sound mind is the culture in which we live. And there's many ways this culture militates against a sound mind. And one of the ways is this thing of instant gratification, this culture of instant gratification that we live in. It requires discipline to be patient for things, to wait for things. And patience, in the book of James brings out the importance of patience. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect." This age of instant gratification, getting what we want now, not having to put forth much effort, not having to wait, militates against the sound mind. There's strength in patience. There's real strength in patience, being able to patiently wait for the things we want, the things we need. The Bible talks about waiting on the Lord, the man that waits on the Lord, the man that is patient. There's tremendous strength in patience. I had to think of Jacob. You know, Jacob knew what patience was. He worked 7 years so that he could marry Rachel, and then he was tricked into marrying Leah. And he worked 7 more years. He knew what patience was. He knew what it was to work for the thing that he wanted, for his goal. And I think it's very important that we as parents teach our children patience. That we don't just give them the things they want. Teach them patience. Teach them to work for it. Maybe let them save up so that they can buy the things. Patience. Our culture of instant gratification militates against a sound mind. Another thing in our culture that militates against a sound mind is the proliferation of information and misinformation in our day. There's so many people with so many opinions, and we can get confused. We suffer from an overload of information. Paul describes our day very well in 2 Timothy 3. And he talks about the last days, and he says this. 2 Timothy 3. He's talking about the kind of people, the character of the people that will inhabit the earth in the last days. And one of these characteristics is that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And one thing that boggles my mind is how some of the most educated, smartest people in the world can come up with some of the most absurd ideas and opinions that you could imagine. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, when our minds are not filled with wisdom that is from above, our minds are filled with earthly wisdom, which results in confusion. Daniel 12:4 also talks about this. And he's seeing the vision, and he's supposed to write what he sees. Daniel chapter 12. But the angel tells him, he says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Doesn't that describe our day perfectly? Everybody's running to and fro. Everybody's proud of the things they know, the information that they have acquired. But are they acquiring the truth? The simple truth of God's Word. A sound mind. Another thing about our culture that militates against a sound mind is the entertainment and the social media that we deal with. And many, many studies have been done on the effects that social media has on our minds. And it's been said that it's pretty much the same as drugs. It affects our minds a lot the same way as drugs affect our minds. But we get addicted to this social media. People are away from it for a while. They actually experience withdrawal symptoms just like similar to what they do from drugs and alcohol. And why is this social media so prevalent? What is the draw? And I think it is because the alternate realities that we can create for ourselves. If you have a life that is not going well, things at work, things in your life aren't going well, well, you can plug into social media, the entertainment industry, the movies and the films, and you can create an alternate reality for yourself where you're the hero, where you're the hero of the story. You can escape from reality. Also in 2 Timothy 3, again, in verse 4, he says that men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I think, if we're honest, that hits closer home to us than we'd like to admit. We like our pleasures, don't we? We like the things that are fun. We like to play. We like to have a good time. And it's important that we keep the pleasure in proper perspective. You know, this entertainment culture, what many people don't realize, it is feeding our minds. Yes, an alternate reality, but it's feeding our minds the world's philosophy in a very subtle way that is detrimental to the philosophies of God and His Word. And children are feeding on this, and they spend more time in front of the television or on their computers than they do with their parents, and their minds are being slowly eroded, slowly shaped and conformed to the world's philosophies. A detriment to a sound mind. So how do we develop a sound mind? We looked at some hindrances to a sound mind. How do we develop a sound mind? First of all, we need to know the source of a sound mind. For that, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 8. We want to develop a sound mind. First of all, we need to become acquainted with the giver of the sound mind. We said a sound mind is a gift from God. And we don't generally give people we don't know gifts. God desires to have a relationship with you and I. He desires to give us the gift of a sound mind. Hebrews 8, verse 10, "For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." God is the giver of a sound mind. Also, we need to follow Christ's example. Verse 7, it says, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind." Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to give us an idea of what Christ's mind was. "Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And he goes on, talks about how he died on the cross. So we can glean a couple things about the mind of Christ from those short verses. Number one is, the mind of Christ was controlled by love. It was because of His love that He was willing to humble Himself and die on the cross for you and for me. And also, His mind was characterized by humility. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself no reputation. Now, if we want to have a sound mind, we need to have the mind of Christ. A mind controlled by the love of God. A mind characterized by its humility. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ this evening. It's your mind controlled by love, characterized by humility. Another way we develop a sound mind is through a proper fear of God. And I want to go to the book of Proverbs for a couple of verses. And these are verses I think that most of us know. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. We want to develop a sound mind. We need to have a proper fear of God. Going to chapter 9 of Proverbs. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. A sound mind is characterized by a proper fear of God. Also, a sound mind is one that is open to instruction and correction. Still in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. A sound mind understands its limitations, its weaknesses, and is open to correction and instruction. And a sound mind has a knowledge and a love for the law of God. Psalm 19. David says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and righteous are to get altogether. If we desire to have a sound mind, we need to have a knowledge and a love for the Word of God. Going back to the book of 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase in more ungodliness. In 2 Timothy, in Ephesians 4, 22 and 24, we are told to put off the old man with its and the lusts thereof. Correction, growth. Sound mind sees its need for growth, and it desires to grow in the likeness and the purity of God. So we looked at developing a sound mind. Why is a sound mind important? Why do we desire to have a sound mind? Well, first of all, a sound mind is essential in evaluating and dealing with all of life's varied circumstances. We need to have a sound mind if we're going to see things rightly. We need to have the wisdom of God to evaluate the circumstances and the situations that we face. When we evaluate everything from an earthly perspective with earthly wisdom, invariably it results in confusion. And we see that all around us in the world today, confusion. Because people are not sound of mind. They do not have a mind filled with the wisdom of God. A sound mind is the antithesis of a fearful mind, which we already talked about, which hinders our ability to cope in life and alienates us from God. A sound mind is important for endurance in a Christian life. You know, the undisciplined athlete will not have the stamina to win the race. He's going to fall out by the way. The undisciplined soldier will not be able to withstand the rigors of combat. In the same way, a person with an undisciplined mind will not be able to withstand the rigors of the Christian life. In the parable of the sower, the seed that fell upon, I think it was the stony ground, then it sprang up, and the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches came and choked the seed, and it withered. An undisciplined mind. Hebrews 12, verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." A sound mind is essential for endurance in the Christian life. Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." A sound mind protects us from the danger of deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 3. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Going over to verse 13. "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." The devil is in the business of deception. His goal is to deceive every one of us, to make us believe the lies that he has to offer. The Bible talks about in the end times, men will believe the lie. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus about the end times, and they're like us. They wanted to know what was going to happen and all the little nitty-gritty interesting details. But what is interesting to me is what Jesus' focus was. Matthew chapter 24. And I didn't count how many times he mentioned it, but they were walking through the temple, and the disciples wanted to show him this great, beautiful temple. And Jesus told them that there's going to come a time when it's not going to be one stone left upon another. And of course, the disciples' first question was, when? When is this going to happen? And notice what Jesus' answer is. The first thing he said was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And time again in Matthew 24, he warns against deception. Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." And we can go on. 24, "There shall arise false prophets and false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Jesus was not so concerned about the details and about when things were going to happen. He did not think it was important for his disciples to know all that. He thought it was important that they would not be deceived. A sound mind protects us from the danger of deception. And we live in a world that is full of deception, full of untruth. Brothers and sisters, we need sound minds if we're going to sift through the untruth, through the evil that's masquerading as truth, and not be deceived. In Colossians chapter 2, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Beware lest any man deceive you. Many, many Christians today are being deceived. Many false prophets are standing in pulpits deceiving the sheep that they're supposed to be leading in truth. Romans 16. Now this warning against deception is all through the scriptures. That's a major theme. Jesus, Paul, Peter, they were all very concerned that you and I would not fall for deception. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions among divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which I have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and with fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. In 2 Peter chapter 2, one more scripture on this thing of deception. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 18. He's talking about false prophets. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. They speak great swelling words, and they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Deception. A sound mind protects you and me from the danger of deception. Also, a sound mind is required to be fruitful in the work of the kingdom. Now, Timothy's timid nature was hindering him in his duties as a leader in the church. And Paul says, "Wherefore put thee in remembrance. I put thee in remembrance. I'll stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now, if we're going to be effective in the work of the kingdom, it's imperative that we have a sound mind. And he goes on in chapter 3, verse 15, talking again to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, really furnished unto all good works." A sound mind is required for fruitfulness in the work of the kingdom. And also, a sound mind receives the blessing of God. James chapter 1. We already read about the trying of our faith, working patience. In verse 5, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." If we want to experience the blessing of God on our lives, we must have a sound mind. Revelation chapter 7. It's a vision where John sees a multitude around the throne of God in white robes, singing and praising God. And one of the elders comes to him and says, "Who are these people? And where did they come from?" And this was the answer. And in verse 14, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which have come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb of God, which in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." These people had a sound mind, and they lived their Christian life with a sound mind. They fought the fight of faith with a sound mind. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." A sound mind is blessed by God. Also, a sound mind possesses heavenly wisdom. Let's go back to the book of James, James chapter 3. I'd like to read a couple verses here. This is a contrast of earthly and heavenly wisdom. We're thinking of sound minds. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Doesn't that describe the world that we live in? Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." A sound mind produces heaven. A sound mind possesses heavenly wisdom, and it produces peace and righteousness. In closing, a few verses back in the 2 Timothy I'd like to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read a couple verses in this chapter. But I'd like to leave with this with you, because in times in which we live, it is more imperative than ever that we have sound minds. Minds that are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, in the truth of God. But Paul says here in 1 Timothy, he says, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he goes on to describe what people, the character of people. They're going to be lovers of their own selves, blasphemers, without natural affection. He goes on. I think we would all agree this evening that we live in these times that he is talking about. We live in perilous times. These things that he's describing here are things that we see all around us. And brothers and sisters, the only way that we are going to be able to survive and come through these times is if we have sound minds. If we have minds that are grounded on the Word of God, on the truth of God, the only way that we are going to be able to endure is with sound minds. Do you have a sound mind this evening? your mind rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I pray that it is. I guess it's one thing I have, a concern I have for the church as we face these times. And what, if we look into the future, what's coming down the road? It doesn't have to be gloom and doom. It's things that we can come through victoriously if we take the Word of God seriously, if we love it, if we obey it, if we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, fill our minds with His truth, with His wisdom. We are going to need it in the coming years. So, brothers and sisters, tonight my challenge is to you is to make developing a sound mind a priority in your life. Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Allow Him, ask Him for His wisdom. Ask in faith so that He can give it to you and you can receive of His wisdom so that you don't have to face the world in fear, but you can face the world in power and with the love of God protecting you. Let's bow our heads for prayer.